This is an MUT Radio podcast.
And right now, in studio with me, with us, we have Ukero Suki, who is a Venezuelan or Lebanese singer and songwriter who attended Berklee College of Music in the United States, where she developed her musical artistry and graduated with a degree in music therapy. She has performed in various regions worldwide, including the United States, the Middle East, Asia, and currently now in South Africa. She also performs in several languages, including English, Arabic, Spanish, Italian, and French, in an electric mix of genres like jazz, Latin, pop, dance, and Middle Eastern stars. Oh, oh my goodness. I'm so excited. This bio is so interesting. Anyway, we do have Ukero Suki in the studio right now. And she is with Unnick Pittman. I think if you are an avid listener of Ivukubang in a Breakfast Show, you would remember we once had Unnick Pittman for an interview right here on the Ivukubang in a Breakfast Show. So she's back, and he's back. Also, uspathelenge Ukero Suki right here in studio. Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
So good. Thank you so much for having us here this morning.
Thank you so much for coming through. How long have you been in South Africa now?
Well, it's been now a year and a month.
Oh, amazing.
Yeah, I got here last July with my husband.
Oh, yeah.
We moved from Kuwait, actually, which is in the Arabian Gulf.
Mm.
And yeah, just been exploring this beautiful country.
How has it been so far? How has South Africa treated you so far?
So far, so good. I mean, we were really excited to leave the Middle East because of the nature that Africa has to offer specifically and the freedom. And to me, specifically, the mixture of cultures. Like, I love learning and embracing different cultures, learning different languages. So I haven't learned Zulu and Xhosa yet, but I will get there, hopefully. And Afrikaans, too. I'm trying little by little, so...
Definitely, you'll get there. You already know the two languages, so I think you'll definitely get there. So I'd like us to start from the beginning, because that was just a segue. So can you tell us a bit more about where you grew up,
sure.
You know, where you were born, actually, and about where you grew up? Is it a place where one would want to visit? What's an interesting thing over there?
Okay.
You know? Yeah.
Yes, I was born in Venezuela, which is in South America. And the funny thing is, when I came here, I thought it was very similar to Venezuela. At least the nature, the people, the food, there's a lot of similarities too.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, I grew up in Venezuela, and I left there when I was 9 years old. So that's where I got to learn how to speak Spanish. And then we moved to Kuwait, actually. I didn't get to live in Lebanon. The sad part with Lebanon is that there's always been some turmoil here and there. So it never felt like a, you know, safe place for us to live in. But then Venezuela kind of had also its ups and downs. And so my dad decided, let's go move somewhere a bit safer. And that's where we ended up in Kuwait.
Nice.
And I got to learn how to speak Arabic a little bit more living in Kuwait.
Definitely. And then when does the music start? When do you realize that I actually can sing?
Yeah.
I actually have a beautiful voice.
Well, in elementary school, I joined the school choir
when
I was in Kuwait. Mm. And it was a teacher, actually, that gave me that push. And he thought that my voice is really nice. Why don't you join the choir? Take this solo, take that solo. And so it gave me a little bit of confidence and encouragement to really embrace the music and embrace my voice.
And then, so once you started doing that, you then realized that I think I need to pursue this professionally.
Yeah, I think my last year of high school, I was torn between should I continue music, because I was in the band and I was in the choir, and we would do sometimes traveling between schools to compete against each other or to work together. And I was torn between chemistry and nutrition and music.
Such varying choices, eh? Such varying choices.
Yeah, I know.
Wow.
And my parents were at first skeptical, like, oh, music, what are you going to do with the music? What's it going to get you? But thankfully, when I got to Berklee, I found out that there was a degree called music therapy, which deals with people and kids and, you know, kids in need or adults in need that where you utilize music to assist them in things that are non-musical,
yeah.
whether it's their emotional well-being, their mental health, their language skills.
Mm.
So, yeah. So once I found out that that was a field that I could go in, I went in full force because I love working with people.
Yeah.
And my passion for music.
For music
so putting
as well.
Those two was like a dream to me.
Wow, it was so amazing. So. Actually, it's also the first time I hear something, a degree called music therapy.
Oh, yeah.
It seems very interesting, actually.
Yeah. Also, how does your background in music therapy intersect with your identity as a songwriter?
Ooh. Well, for me, when I write songs, it's therapeutic for me. So it's my own form of kind of music therapy for myself.
Mm.
So songwriting is such a big element in that therapeutic concept, being aware of what your feelings are, putting your emotions out there, and just releasing whatever stressors that you're dealing with through music.
Mm.
And with my songwriting, that's my kind of therapy.
That is beautiful, man.
So.
That is beautiful. So you've been to various parts of the world, explored various cultures, you know, you sing in different languages as well. Speaking of the various parts of the world, which one has been your favorite to perform in, actually? Maybe not to live in, but to perform in.
Yes.
To perform in? Mm. Well, that first gig I did here with Nick and Raul was actually amazing. It felt really cool because everybody is singing with you. Everybody's dancing along.
Yeah.
You don't have to really try to push people to, come on, everybody, let's do it.
Let's go.
They were just there. They were feeling the vibes.
Mm.
So I loved that energy that I got here. And then I did a film festival gig in Egypt 2 years ago, and that vibe was lit as well.
Nice.
It was
amazing.
Everybody was excited. Everybody was dancing.
Mm.
I mean, I did a Latin set, so I was singing in Spanish. So
Latin
music always gets people
always gets people moving.
You know, it's happy music. So.
That is definitely beautiful.
Yeah. Given that, like, you're currently based in South Africa, can you tell us some aspirations to collaborate with some local South African artists?
Well, I thankfully had the privilege to collaborate with Nick starting now and recently, I mean.
Mm.
I would love to collaborate with Black Coffee, like, love to.
Oh, yeah, actually, that would be great.
That was one of the first things I was excited about coming to South Africa, like, I'm going to where Black Coffee is from.
And he's actually so close.
Yeah, that's
beautiful. I heard he's from Durban.
Yeah.
I didn't know that, so.
He lives in Maritzburg currently, so.
Oh.
Wow.
Mr. Black Coffee, if you'd like a female vocalist, you know, call me up.
Just call me up. Yeah. Oh, man, that is
and
beautiful.
I'm slowly listening to more artists here on the radio, and I'm just loving their music and the vibe. I'm in love with the whole I'm a piano groove.
Girl.
That genre, that style. So I'm hoping that my next track would be something
with regards to I'm a piano.
Yeah.
I'd love to hear
in
I'm a piano
action. Your voice would be scrumptious.
Oh, thank you.
Exactly.
Thank you.
Exactly.
So.
Now, you also have an album titled Ride. What was the inspiration behind, making that album? And how was it like actually making that album in the process?
Well, that album was a long process. I did that album in Kuwait. I collaborated with a Bahraini production company and a Kuwaiti production company and writers. But it took a couple of years to write it down because I'm not good at making up lyrics. Like, I have to be feeling something. I have to be going through something.
Yeah.
And even though I'm a bubbly person and energetic and always, you know, positive and hope, and my songwriting is more deeper and a little bit sadder kind of lyrical content.
Mm.
So it was based on a lot of just my personal experiences that I was dealing with, on the romantic sense, more like it.
Always a goatee.
Yeah.
Always a
goatee. Romance is a problem.
You have to dwell into the romance to really get those feelings out.
Mm, mm.
But it was a very nice collaborative process with a lot of friends and colleagues of mine in Kuwait,
nice.
Between the videographers and the creative directors, the wardrobe directors. It was, it was a very nice project.
Nice, nice.
It took some time, and I released it in 2020 during COVID, and my husband was like, are you sure you want to release this? No, is this the right time? But I thought, you know what, everybody's sitting at home.
They're not doing
Why
anything.
Not?
Why not, actually?
And it's been on my you know, it's been on my plate for a long time. Oh, yeah. I'm just going to put it out there.
Nice, nice.
So, yeah.
Now, speaking of, you know, making an album and then performing, you perform in various languages, yes. which is very impressive. I'd like to know, how do you connect with audiences who may not speak or understand the language you might be performing in at that time?
Well, sometimes I just give a little snippet introduction of what maybe the main chorus means or what the word means in the song.
Oh, yeah.
And I sometimes try to get them to sing along with me so that they're not so caught up with the language barrier, but just singing along. Because music is such a, singing is such a therapeutic tool as well, and it makes you feel good. So I think that's my method to kind of get them to feel the vibes, feel even the though vibe, they don't know what all the lyrics mean.
Definitely. I think that would definitely work. Now, Okay.
Given that, like, you're an international star, international powerhouse, honestly.
Thank you.
What would you say to aspiring musicians and songwriters who are looking to create a unique musical path and connect with diverse audiences all around the world?
Just don't be afraid to be vulnerable and to be open lyrically and musically. And don't be afraid to collaborate with other people. I feel like sometimes us musicians, there's two types. There's types that are scared to collaborate with other people because they feel like their true identity is kind of lost, you know, mingling with someone. But we are in a world where we need to collaborate with others. We need to show that kind of unity. And music is such a powerful tool that kind of brings us together. So when you're showcasing that, I think it's really effective.
That's beautiful.
But yeah, stay true to yourself. And I was one of these people when my first album that I thought, oh no, but the sound needs to be XYZ because this is what's playing on the radio.
Yeah.
But now, stepping out of the album, I'm actually realizing, no, whatever you feel, whatever style or genre you want to portray, put it out there, let it out there. It doesn't have to be your typical pop radio that's, you know, on 24/7, because then you're not putting your personal identity in there. You're just being a copy paste. Definitely.
So I'd just like, Nji, one of the languages that you speak, I'd like us to teach us maybe a phrase or something, an interesting phrase or anything, possibly Arabic.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, in Lebanon, it's funny because we speak, in one sentence, we will speak three languages. So we'll say, hello, how are you? Are you okay? We'll say, marhaba, kifak, sava. So, marhaba is hello, okay. Kifak is how are you, sava is in French, are you okay?
Wow.
Sure, okay.
And then you can answer cool, bro, they say bro as well.
Oh, so bro means cool.
Bro is, bro is like my brother, but everybody's using bro now.
Okay, wow.
But marhaba kifak is hello, how are you,
in Lebanese.
Kifak.
Markaba kifak.
There you go. That's nice.
Hello, how are you? Markaba kifak.
There you go.
Yeah. Next time I see someone who speaks that language, I'm just going to hit them with that, but I'm going to tell them that that's the way it
They'll
ends.
Know. That's what you said.
That's how it ends, but I tried. I tried, man. So I hear today that you're going to be blessing us with a few of your amazing songs, a few of your amazing vocals.
Sure.
And before we go there, actually, I'd like to go to Nick Pittman. This guy, when he was here, I asked him, when is the album coming? And he was like, soon. I promise you, it's coming soon, possibly before the end of this year. And apparently now you're working on the album. Tell us how that has gone.
Man, it's going really well. And it is going to be done by the end of the year. I'm going to be finished with all the recording by the 31st of November.
Yeah.
And looking to release it in January or February. Next year. It's got all the musicians ready, studio ready, so it's going really well.
I like the collaborative effort that went into the album. Tell us, how was the reception of that when you, like, you know, you asked people to, you know, get into the album and actually be part of making the album?
Yeah, I think everyone was really keen. Luckily, the people playing in the album are also musicians that I've played with in a few gigs, so they know the music, and it's going to be a really great experience playing with the same people. So they can really connect to the music.
Yeah.
And then in terms of horn arrangements, there's a musician that I'm working with at the moment, and he's putting some really nice arrangements down that are going to be in the album. And he was really keen to help out, Tobozo and Sibanda. And he's, he's been really keen to help, and I'm really grateful for his help, actually.
Yeah. That sounds beautiful, man. That sounds beautiful. Definitely cannot wait. Today you're on the guitar, and we have Carol Suki on the vocals. Definitely cannot wait, you guys. Let's go to it straight.
This is an MUT Radio podcast.